I'm going to present the next talk, and somebody can keep time for me. Greg, maybe you are good at that, but you know, since I'm moderator, give me half an hour extra if you would, you know. So, the title of my talk today is Fruit Quality at Harvest and After Storage and Fluctuation in the Mineral Nutrient Partitioning in Honeycrisp Apples, Influenced by Thinning and Rootstock. So, why are we interested in Honeycrisp? Honeycrisp is a very popular variety, and the problem is that it has a lot of storage problems. And then at this point, my colleagues from Cornell, Dr. Lilan Chang and Dr. Lee, and a number of others, they are working on this very issue. And Dr. Stefano, I don't know if he's here, from Washington State. In the interest of time, I'd like to show you this general picture that we have that shows growth of the apple. And Dr. Maladi presented a much more detailed, specific steps for the cell division. But this is a general pattern for apple. And then the question is that what is the best time for application of calcium? And then what is the best time for thinning? And we are trying to find out that if the thinning and rootstock can influence the storage life of apples. This is an earlier work that I did with Mel Westwood in early 80s at Oregon State. This generally shows the trend of mineral concentrations in apple. This is a Red Delicious decline as the season progresses. That is true for calcium, phosphorus, potassium, nitrogen, and many other elements. This is when we express them on a percentage dry weight basis. This is a situation that we are dealing on Honeycrisp almost every year. That they bunch up and they grow as a bunch together. And this is, believe it or not, after thinning them with 7 and after a blossom thinning, still we have that much to deal to fine-tune them by hand. So, and then this is, of course, you are all familiar with the bitter pit, which is related to calcium deficiency. And the objective on this project was, number one, different time of thinning and different level of thinning. Do they have any effect on the final fruit quality and minerals? And then objective two was evaluating 5 different rootstock as part of the NC-140 project to see that if there is any consistent effect of rootstock on the quality of Honeycrisp. What we did is in both 2017 and 2018, we had different levels of thinning. To the right, to the left, we have not thinned at all. And then we had light thinning that was thinning down to only 3 fruit clusters per bunch, and then thinning down to 2 and down to 1, and that would be called heavy thinning. In the heavy thinning category, we had an early thinning that was about the time that fruits were small, about the size of a golf ball or smaller. And then the late thinning was at the time that fruits were well developed. And we did that to see if we can play with the calcium concentration. This is showing that the way that we did our thinning, this is on the using some platforms. And basically, for the rows that we had, we wanted to do on both sides, we were using a different type of platform. And this picture showing that if we were thinning down to only 2 fruit versus down to 1, as you can see on the left, we have much more fruit on the ground as compared to the one on the right. So it was a tedious job, and we were dealing with a total of 350 trees. And this picture was taken in 2018. You can imagine that after hand thinning how they look like. So, and then fruits were taken to the pomology lab, and we processed them for sugar, color, starch, and a number of other biochemical compounds. Very briefly, I go through the result and discussion that we have so far. Yield was reduced by late thinning and heavy thinning, obviously, but fruit size was significantly higher when we had late thinning and heavy thinning. And then when we look at the color was definitely more improved when we had late thinning and heavy thinning, and then bitter pit was higher at the same time for the one that we had late thinning and heavy thinning as compared to the other one. It is interesting that the late thinning has, this is both in the storage and at harvest. And then looking at the sugar or soluble solid concentration was higher on the late thinning and heavy thinning as compared to the other treatments, both at harvest and after storage. And then in the picture on the lower, you can see the firmness. Firmness was lower on the higher and late thinning as compared to the other ones. And then, of course, we look at the mineral content, mineral fluctuation during the season for leaf and fruit. As you can see on the picture on the top, leaf mineral nutrition declined with the season. And then on the bottom is fruit nitrogen. Both of them are leaf nitrogen and fruit nitrogen. They declined. But if you look at the picture on the top, you see that leaf nitrogen on the late thinning was lower as compared to control. And then we look at fruit and leaf potassium. And you can see this potassium trend is very similar to, as far as the general trend is concerned, is very similar to Red Delicious. The one at the top is for leaf, the one on the bottom is fruit. And then this is pattern for leaf calcium. Leaf calcium, we didn't see much difference with different treatments, but fruit calcium was definitely affected by the time and by the frequent by the extent of thinning. Any time we had late thinning and heavy thinning, we had slightly different calcium before the final time, before the harvest time. I was talking to Leilang and a few more to see that what is the possible explanation. It is something that so far we have found more questions than answer for this project. And then we are looking at the potassium-calcium level. It seems that potassium to calcium level is definitely playing a big role rather than calcium concentration itself. And then, of course, one interesting thing is that as a general comparison, we are finding that Honeycrisp has by far less calcium than Fuji and Red Delicious, and definitely lower than Gala. This is, again, something that Leilang and his team, they are following that, and that is, we are finding exactly the same trend. Effect of rootstock, we had five different rootstocks, and then, of course, as you can see, because of the biennial bearing, we need several years of rootstock data to make it more meaningful. And then, even after 3-4, it may not be making sense. But anyway, for this limited data that we have, it shows that yield was significantly higher on V1 rootstock and G30, and then fruit weight was higher on V1 and M26. I would like for you to pay attention to Geneva 202. As far as yield and fruit size, they were in kind of happy medium region, right? Look at the bitter pit. Geneva 202 was significantly lower bitter pit than all of them. And then, of course, M26 was higher, which is consistent with some of the results that we reported early or late 70s or early 80s on Golden Delicious. Now, look at the furnace. Is that the first one on the column is G202 for furnace at harvest, and the bottom one is the storage after furnace. In both cases, you can see that fruits on G202, they had significantly higher furnace. And then the last one on the bottom of the slide is color. Then again, G202 had the best color. So the best color and more furnace, that is a good news. And then the interesting about 202 is we are finding that it seems to have less biennial bearing than some of the other rootstocks. This is a rootstock that we are interested, and we are looking very closely at the ratio between potassium and calcium. And then in general, it seems that 202 is showing a fair result, and also it seems that playing with this time and the level of thinning, it may play a role. And as I said, the result that I reported here was based on 2017 only, but we are following the same in 2018. We are very interested to see if we can duplicate that. Is that late thinning or heavy thinning, it's in fact, it is showing a better result as far as having a little more storage life. We know that when we reduce the fruit crop, it's going to have a reduced level of firmness. But that is a happy medium between calcium content and firmness. That is the area that we are looking. Because if you just allow the, Honeycrisp, you can easily grow a watermelon, almost a watermelon out of a Honeycrisp. But we don't want to get there. We need a kind of medium to large size that would be acceptable in the market. And, you know, what the price is in the market, it is sometimes $2 a pound. And how am I doing, Greg, on the...
3 minutes.
Oh, good. The bribe I paid you worked. Okay, at this point I like to, I don't think I have any more slides. This is basically showing a joint project that we are doing with our colleagues in, with other states. This is, we have different system of canopy that we are looking at the, and different level of thinning on those that we don't have time to get, and mineral partitioning. On this particular one, we have 6 to 7 years of data. It's very interesting that I think it would be ready to report next year. Any questions? Yes.
Did you have a target fruit number for tree, or when you did the thinning, whatever you had?
Very good question. We wanted to go about, the level that we call it late thinning would be about the hand thinning level that growers would do, about that far spacing between the fruits, right? And then, of course, this year we have an extreme thinning that we went about 10 inches between fruits. What we do is we are thinning them to the level that we want. And then by keeping fruit number and cross-sectional area, we would know that based on that assumption, what kind of target we will end up with. Going at the beginning, if you want to do that, that will be a lot of work, as Rich Morini knows very well. And, well, he was telling us to do, and we were all doing the pitch thinning, and that was a very favorite for some of our graduate students and technicians. But that's a lot of tedious work for this many trees. Yes?
When you have the different crop loads like that, how are you deciding when to harvest the different treatments and put the fruit in storage?
Excellent question. Yeah, we are monitoring. We have different harvests. I forgot to mention that harvest 1, harvest 2, harvest 3. Although one of those harvests we emphasize more as far as measurement. But definitely we are measuring, we are taking some subsamples, at least for starch. I don't believe in starch degradation as a very good indication for maturity, but we are taking that to see where they are at different timing. And last year, in fact, we did some preliminary analysis on the fruit firmness as well. And then we go based on that.
So the VitaFit data mm-hmm.
The data that I showed you was after 4 weeks. We have multiple storage period, and then we have like the, after 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and 6 weeks. The one I showed you was after 4 weeks. Yes.
Your time's up.
Oh, okay. I thought you have a question.
I do. I'll ask you after.
Okay. Thank you very much.